Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Unity Center of Light, another service from our home to your home. Yes. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
We look forward to bringing you this service today. Today is Palm Sunday. We found out the colors were either purple or red, so we're doing our best to try to wear purple today. make sure you join us for our Zoom service right after this. We've got live music and a bunch of wonderful things happening, so we look forward to seeing you in that Zoom service. And again, if you're trying to figure out how to get into Zoom, it is in your either your e-newsletter or your
updates.
Yeah, weekly update that came out. So we look forward to seeing that service, and we're going to get started with Pamela.
Okay, thanks. Good morning, and welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence, active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word reading for Sunday, March 28th. The key word is Hosanna, which means an expression of adoration, praise, or joy. The affirmation is, guided by the divine presence within, I follow the path to spiritual freedom. I imagine Jesus' experience riding a young donkey through the gates of Jerusalem, seeing the waving palm branches, feeling the people's love, hope, and even their fear as they shout, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. His followers looked to Jesus as the one who would free them from bondage of Roman rule. Jesus, embracing his Christ nature, the spiritual identity he shares with all people, had accepted the greater mission of leading humankind to freedom from all bondage, all limitation, even freedom from death. Taking my inspiration from Jesus' example, I fearlessly embrace my Christ nature. Guided by the divine presence within, I follow the path to spiritual freedom. And the scripture is John 12:13, and it reads, So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna. Amen. Now we will have the lesson with Butch, Reverend Butch.
Thank you, Hen. So, again, welcome to this Palm Sunday service. And, you know, please allow me to start this lesson with the basic Palm Sunday explanation that I used many times before. So, you know, Palm Sunday commemorates an event mentioned in all four canonical Gospels. And for those who are note takers, that's Mark 11, 1 through 11, Matthew 21, 1 through 11, Luke 19, 28 through 44, and John 12, 12 through 19. Okay? So in these Gospels, we read about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem in the days before his trial and execution by crucifixion. So let's look at the different aspects of these events and try to understand what is our role or spiritual obligation as symbolized in these events. Now, according to the Gospels, before entering Jerusalem, Jesus was staying at Bethany and Bethpage. And while there, Jesus is described by the Synoptic Gospels as sending two unnamed disciples to the village in order to retrieve a colt that had been tied up, but never has been ridden. And, you know, to say, if questioned, he said, tell them that the Lord needs the colt, but he will return it in a short period of time. So the Gospels go on to describe how Jesus rode into Jerusalem and how the people there laid down their cloaks in front of him and also laid down palms. The people were also described as singing part of Psalm 118, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Okay. And in addition, we read in Psalms 118, 24 through 25, This is the day that the Lord has made. We rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we ask you, O Lord. O Lord, we ask you, send now success. All right? Now, this request, save us, we ask you, O Lord, has probably been the prayer prayed by every one of us on the planet according to their tradition within this past year with all that's been going on. Okay? And notice I said we have been praying it in our tradition. So, maybe not using those exact words, but using the, you know, that state of mind, save us from all these things that have been going on. You know, and there's so many who live by faith, you know. But still, even though living by faith, have a tinge of fear when the challenges become overwhelming. And Jesus is seen as a symbol of salvation by many. You know, Christ in you, your hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. And I began last year's Palm Sunday service with these words from James Dillard Freeman. He said, there was one who showed us what we all might become. He did not just tell us what our lives should be like. Rather, he lived the life we might live. He showed us how to live without fear. Okay? And again, whenever we talk about Jesus, Jesus is it's the God idea, okay? And when I say it's the God idea, meaning in many different traditions, they will have their own God idea, but it's basically all the same concept. Something we look to as our, what's the word I'm looking for, is our mentor or the symbol of how we should be living our lives. And I also began last year's Palm Sunday by explaining that as practical, metaphysical Christians, Palm Sunday represents an important day in our own journey to making the shift from ego to spirit and from fear to faith. And with what is occurring in the world today, that shift from fear to faith is critical to our remaining centered in Christ, no matter what is occurring in the world. And that's what a lot of the talk today is going to be about. So here we are a year later. And the circumstances call for a continuation of the same message, except we are not the same people we were last year this time, okay? We're not the same people we were before the pandemic, right? We have been changed by the events of the past year. And yes, on the surface, we may appear to be the same, but we are not. On the surface, we may feel tired, worn down, less resilient, because of all we have been through in this past year. But at our spiritual core, we are still whole and well, and maybe even more so because of what we have been through, right? Who among us has had the experience of a serious workout? You know, you get up, you do your workout, whether it's walking, running, swimming, weightlifting, aerobics, yoga, or whatever it might be, okay, Pilates, or whatever. You know, and after the workout, you feel worn out, tired, you know, maybe even a little beat up, you know, from the workout. But still, no matter how you felt, you knew that you were better, stronger, and more resilient for having gone through that workout experience. Well, this past year has been a spiritual workout, whether we perceived it as being or not, okay? And we read in 1 Timothy 4:8, exercise thyself unto godliness. Exercise thyself unto godliness. So this whole past year has been an exercise unto godliness. Godliness meaning living as a reflection of God in the course of our everyday lives. Okay? Living as a reflection of God in the course of our everyday lives, no matter what is happening. And we have may have spent more time. Just think about it. We had a division meeting where the dean was asking us to write into the chat, you know, what did we spend our time doing to stay, help us to stay resilient in this past year? And several people put in mindfulness practice, prayer, meditation. Okay, so we may have spent more time in prayer and meditation than ever before in this past year. More time being still than ever before. And more time contemplating the inevitability of the life experience meaning it is inevitable that in this life experience, stuff is going to happen, okay? And that's why we talk about, like we said, Paramahansa Yogananda, last time I spoke, he said, read less, meditate more, think about God all the time, okay? And that meditate more and think about God all the time is to get us, it sort of put us in a mode of being prepared for whatever stuff life might throw at us. And just think about it. The sum total of what we all have gone through in the past year is probably more than any of us have experienced at any point in our lifetimes, okay? Unless we are, close in our 90s or longer, we have seen wars and we've seen depression. We've seen many things like this happen. But as President Biden said, we've typically not seen all of these things we're experiencing happening at the same time. So if we think about the stories, think about the stories that we tell ourselves, this time of year, the story you tell yourself, it's a story where you're thinking to yourself, this is how I'm feeling about this. This is, it's a story we're always telling ourselves. So if we think about the stories that we're telling ourselves this time this year, okay, let's say this Palm Sunday, as compared to the stories we told ourselves this time last year, last Palm Sunday, I'm willing to bet that they are not the same stories, okay? Last year, this time, we were just entering into the fire. Let me just use that, because I'm going to use that a lot in this talk. We were just entering into the fire. The pandemic was really, revving up, and jobs were being lost, and things were happening, and we were trying to get our mind wrapped around, the politics was real crazy at that time. And we're trying to get our mind wrapped around, how are we going to deal with this? But now we have spent a year in the fire. And during this time, even though we may feel tired and worn out from all that this experience has required of us, we are not the same people we were this time last year. We are stronger, more resilient, more tolerant, more compassionate. And yes, if asked, we might, blurt out, no, that's not true. I don't feel stronger. I don't feel more resilient, more tolerant, more compassionate. But even though that might not be what we believe about ourselves, you cannot go through the fire of life and remain the same. Let me say that again. You cannot go through the fire of life experience and remain the same. So we read in the Revealing Word that the fire symbolizes cleansing and purification, okay? But it explains that it's more than just a symbol, okay? So material fire is symbolic of the many challenges in our lives, okay, that push us through this through our physical and emotional limits, right? So the material fire is all the things we can name about what has happened in this past year. And it's been a multitude of things. So that's the material fire we're going through, okay? And they're the challenges in our lives that push us to our physical and emotional limits. But the result is preparation for the fire of God that brings us to a new reality because it burns off the dross of our negative, fearful consciousness, okay? Thus revealing within us our spiritual reality, which is the Christ. So let me just say that again. So the material fire, all the stuff we go through, all the experiences that we go through that really challenge us, physically, mentally, emotionally, those are all that's the material fire. But the purpose of the material fire is to burn off all of they use the word dross, all of the negative dynamics about ourselves in preparation for revealing within us our spiritual reality, which is the Christ, okay? So hopefully I'm explaining that well, and that what we've been going through is designed to help us to wake up to who we truly are. We all know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, okay? It's Daniel 3, 16 through 28, and how they were thrown into the furnace by the king. Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. Now, the key here is the king had built this golden idol, all right? and he wanted everybody to worship it. And, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were like, no way, we're not going to do it, okay? So the king, Nebuchadnezzar, commanded that the furnace be heated up 7 times hotter than usual and called for some of his strongest men of this army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the fire. Now, I want you to get in your mind, they were bound, you know, right, with ropes, okay? And they bound them tightly with the ropes and threw them into the furnace, fully clothed. And because the king in his anger had commanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames leaped out and killed the soldiers that were throwing them into the furnace, okay? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down, bound into, you know, the roaring flames. But suddenly, as he was watching, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we throw these 3 men into the furnace?" "Yes," they said, "we did indeed, you know, your majesty." "And weren't they bound tightly?" "Yes, they were, your majesty." He says, "Well, look, I see 4 men unbound walking around in the fire, and they aren't even hurt by the flames, and the 4th person looks like a god." Okay, then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the open door of the flaming furnace, and he yelled, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So they stepped out of the fire. And then the princes and the governors and the captains and the counselors crowded all around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair of their head was singed, and their clothes were unscorched, and they did not even smell like smoke. And then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for he sent his angel to deliver his trusting servants when they defied the king's order and were able to, willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own." Okay. So the fiery furnace into which they were cast represents the test in life that helps us to determine whether we are significantly grounded in prayer to be able to remain God-centered regardless of life's challenges. And the fact that the king demanded that the fire be made 7 times hotter than usual can potentially be looked at as symbolizing what we all have been through and still are going through with all that is occurring in the country right now. So this idea of 7 times hotter, if you think about, we could probably name 7 things that are happening in the country right now that are challenging our peace, okay? And so that's the idea of that. And as you learn when you listen to Lily, I think she mentioned in there that 7 means it's the amount of time you need to overcome material challenges, okay? Whereas 40 is the amount of time you need to overcome spiritual challenges. Right? So anyway, in terms of our role as true students, you know, with all that's happening, and we've had these discussions, we were having them in courageous conversations and others, where people are saying, well, what can we do? Okay, what can we do about these things? And, you know, there are some things that we can physically contribute time and effort to, you know, to help with some of the challenges in our country right now, right? But on a grand scale, there are so many things that are out of our physical reach, okay? So this is where prayer comes in, because it comes to, prayer is what we use to work with those things that are out of our reach, okay? So whereas physically we may not be able to do something to help out in certain situations, prayer, there's nothing that's out of the reach of prayer. There is nothing that is out of the reach of prayer. So when you feel helpless, when you feel hopeful, pray. And when you feel helpless, pray. So no matter what you're feeling, it's time to pray, okay? Pray when you're hopeful and pray when you feel helpless. Prayer is always the answer. And remember, prayer does not mean you must be off in a corner somewhere. Learn to practice prayer in the midst of all that is challenging, as well as in the midst of all that is good, okay? Learn to pray in the midst of all that's challenging, as well as in the midst of all that is good. So our prayer goal is to always be serving God and to be watchful, not to fall into serving anything other than God. Okay? Let me just say it again. Not to fall into serving anything other than God. And the idea of serving something else is when it takes over your mind to the point that that's all you're thinking about. Then you're serving that particular idea. So not serving any other God is a theme throughout the Bible. Okay, fear comes from serving anything other than the truth. And it prevents us from receiving and hearing God's living spirit of truth, which is God thought. God's living spirit of truth is God thought projecting into our mind divine ideas that will build our spiritual consciousness. Okay, so it's through an active spiritual consciousness that we are able to discern what is true in the events and circumstances challenging us, all right, and have a clear understanding of what mind-body response is being asked of us. So when stuff is happening, the question is for us to become still and listen, but what is this asking of me, okay? What is this pandemic asking? What is this social unrest asking? What is this, you know, the political situation, the senseless killings and all this? What is it asking of me, okay? Because many of those things, again, like you can't get to that. You might not be able to get to helping the children, you know, on the border. You might be able to do that, but you can operate that which you have the power to operate, and that is the power of prayer. I was reading about one minister of a megachurch. He expressed, "Jesus is the only vaccine we need." Okay. Now, he did get COVID, right? But that statement was not actually an incorrect statement. It was just, as my father would say, a grandiose statement. Jesus is the only vaccine we need. As I explained in the previous lesson, that is a truth that is only accurate when our material mind and material body become one with our spiritual mind and spiritual body. Okay? So that's what I was talking about last time. Because it is not really the case with us yet, that is why materia medica comes into play and other things to help us, because we have not made that pure connection yet, okay? But until that time comes, it is by way of active spiritual consciousness that we're able to discern what is true in the events and circumstances challenging us, and have a clear understanding of what mind-body response is being asked of us, okay? And if you're thinking to yourself, I don't know how to spiritually attune my consciousness. I don't know how spiritually attuned it is, okay? And I don't know how much I can rely on it to guide me to make the right decisions. I mean, that's a legitimate question. Well, our salvation is that we are never alone as we're plodding along, you know, our way through our life experiences. We're never alone. Even if we think we are alone and feel we are alone, it doesn't negate the reality that we are never alone. Okay, as it is written in Isaiah 43, 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Okay. And then in Matthew 28:20, we read the promise, lo, I am with you always. Okay. And yes, I realize that scripture doesn't always do it for us when we're faced with the challenges of life. I get it. You know, I had a friend, I told the story a long time ago. I had a friend who called up and he was going through some challenges, and if he didn't straighten this out, he was going to end up going to jail. And I gave him some, you know, some spiritual counseling. And he said, okay, okay. And he hung up. And 5 minutes later, he called back and said, you got anything else you can tell me? He's like, you know, that wasn't enough, because I'm facing this challenge right now. I need more than that. So, yes, I realize that scripture doesn't always do it for us when we're faced with the challenges of life. But in times of uncertainty, like these times we're in, Scripture provides the hidden path to a sense of certainty in times of uncertainty, right? And, you know, these are uncertain times. No one right now can say for sure what the material outcome is of all that is happening right now. Nobody can tell us. The scientists can't tell us, okay? Fauci has said himself, he says, this is what we think, okay? They're always saying, this is what we think. So we are operating right now on what we know, but we don't really, really know what the total outcome of all that's happening right now is going to be, okay?
Wilderness.
Say it again?
We're in the wilderness.
We're in the wilderness. Yeah, Pamela was saying we're in the wilderness. Exactly, that's perfect, okay? We are in the wilderness. We're in that 40-year period that Moses went through 40 years and Jesus went through 40 days in the wilderness. The days and years doesn't matter. It's 40 is the amount of time it's going to take for us to, you know, be able to come out on the other end and have some idea what's happening, okay? But from a spiritual perspective, there is significant proof in all faiths that with God, all things are possible, okay? And I say in all faiths, they will call God whatever that God is for them, but they believe with God all things are possible. We believe that with God all things are possible. And here at Unity Center of Light, we're learning that when we say everything is going to be all right, when we say everything is going to be all right, we are not referring to what we on a human level would describe as all right, okay? But rather we're referring to all right as it pertains to what our spirit and our soul is trying to learn and accomplish from what we are experiencing. Okay? And quite often we can't actually always put our finger on what it is we're supposed to be learning, right? You ever said to yourself, what am I supposed to learn from this experience? Okay? But the true Lord of our being knows, all right? Even though we may not know on a conscious level, the true Lord of our being knows on a superconscious level. Okay? We have a built-in inner knowing that is all-knowing. We have a built-in inner knowing that is all-knowing. It is our spiritual work to learn how to access it, and better still, how to allow it to access us. Okay? And that's the thing is that, you know, maybe get it out of our minds. How do I access the divine within me? Stop trying to access it. Just become still. Spend more time in meditation and think about God all the time, and it will access you. Okay. And if we look at the life of Jesus, we can imagine that his disciples, knowing the power that Jesus had, were probably praying that somehow he would defeat the enemy and rise victorious over those who are trying to persecute him, okay? And the thing is, that's what we're hoping that, you know, this idea called God will come and just fix all of this, okay? But that's the way of the ego. That's how the ego imagines things, okay? And it is same with what we are facing today. We want something to come and just fix all of this, okay? So we can go back to the way things were. Boy, we got to stop saying that. Go back to the way things were, all right? And we are all rightfully praying that it is that it all will just go away, okay? But the ultimate question we have to ask ourselves is, have we learned all that these challenges have come here to teach us? Okay? Every one of us knows that it is not always easy to be in alignment with what we profess we believe, okay? It is easy to proclaim our faith when life is good. When we were faced with the challenges such as what we have been experiencing and witnessing in this past year, that is when we are made aware of what we really believe, okay? So when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of an animal, this was symbolic of his declaration that I am on the top of my animal nature, my ego nature, my fearful nature, okay? Let me say that again. So when he was riding on that animal, he was declaring that I am on top of my animal, my ego, my fearful nature. It is no longer on top of me, okay? Now, for those of us who are consciously working on transcending the clutches of our ego, this is the ride we all have to make. Jerusalem, as many of us already know, means a place of peace. And you cannot enter the place of peace within while you, your ego, is riding you. You cannot enter the place of peace within you while your ego is riding you. So our first step is to reverse that order so that we are on top of our ego. Okay? You ever notice how delicate we have to be with each other to keep from stepping on each other's ego toes? And the reason why we're so touchy is because we are on all fours with our egos on our back. So, of course, it is our hands and our feet that are going to get stepped on. But if we're successful in reversing the order, then our ego will be on all fours, and we will be riding safely on its back with our hands and toes out of the reach of being stepped on. Okay? So the next time you feel yourself getting all bent out of shape because someone said or did something that ruffled your little, you know, feathers, just stop and think to yourself, hey, I'm still the ridee instead of being the ride-or, right? And that's what we're striving for. That's what Palm Sunday is all about. You know, Jesus rode on top of his animal nature, okay? So it's not the person's fault that, you know, I choose to, it's not the person's fault that I choose to be down on all fours, you know, making myself vulnerable to being stepped on, okay? It is me that has to change and reverse the order of what is the true dominion within me. It's the Christ within me that's riding on the animal nature within me, the ego nature. And believe me, I know that living this spiritual, biblical journey is not easy. But with diligent practice, it really does start to become easier. And it becomes easier because you become more open to hearing Spirit and then following the guidance of Spirit with less buyer's remorse. Okay? Buyer's remorse being a feeling, I don't know if you ever had this, where you got a challenge in front of you and you're getting ready to deal with it, and you get this inspiration that comes to you and you say, all right, you know, I've been told that this is divine guidance, let me try it. Okay? And you go out and you try it, you put it out there. And then buyer's remorse is, oh, shoot, maybe I should have just did what I always do, you know, instead of following this crazy idea that just came into my head. That's buyer's remorse. So if you've ever had that, where, you know, you get that sort of that guidance from Spirit, and it's usually outside of the dynamics of what you would have done, that's when you kind of know, all right? Then, and it usually deals with love rather than fear, and, you know, to help give you some parameters. But a lot of times you put it out there, and then you're fearful that it's not going to do what you were hoping it would do, okay? And a lot of times it won't do what you were hoping it would do because it's going to give you maybe totally different results. But eventually you will learn that even though the divine guidance you receive may seem crazy, in the end, it is just what you needed to hear, okay? So with my love of photography, I could not help but to end by repeating part of the reading from the 36th day of Lent, Easter 2008, okay? So it says, just like a photographer creates a picture, I can frame my life's journey through my spiritual lens. I can adjust the angle from which I view any experience and focus my energy on the positive aspects, cropping out any areas that no longer serve me. I illumine the picture of my life with the Christ light. And if I have in the past looked at life through a negative, fearful, addictive, ego-smudged lens, I now release that view. I empower myself with positive, life-affirming thoughts, words, and actions, and choose to see each experience of my life's journey through my spiritual lens, grateful for my increased awareness of the Christ within. I express wisdom, strength, understanding, forgiveness, peace as I continue along my spiritual path. Okay? And Pat, if you go to the next one, I'll just go right into that. Empowered with a life-affirming perspective, I see new opportunities for spiritual growth and understanding unfolding in my life each day. And so it is. And now we will have a meditation with Ms. Pamela.
And so, Unity family, let's find that comfortable space right where you are. Place your feet flat to the floor and gently close your eyes if you wish. Taking in a deep breath and breathing out, you begin to feel your body relaxing and your heart rate slowing down. Once again, breathe in and out and shift your focus from outside distractions. And I invite you to take these next words as your own. Gracious Holy Spirit, I feel your presence surrounding me and offering me the opportunity to see how to live my life in your example. Palm Sunday, the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem, is a reminder to me of how I must overcome my own will and instead surrender to God's will. Here is a prayer from the book, The Week That Changed the World by Ernest Holmes. O Lord Christ, as I would receive the blessings and the promises of the kingdom, so I would also accept the discipline. After your example, I will strive to ride and master the unbroken, unbridled side of my nature that can be compared to the colt on which you rode with such majesty and humility. In times of human favor and acclaim, I will hold the rein on willfulness. Let my will and persistence claim higher goals than worldly gain alone. Like one who was to follow you, I would not be found unfaithful to the heavenly vision. I would keep the faith, run the course, follow the light, as your inward nature grants me to see the light. In acceptance, let me be humble. In rejection, undismayed. In all things, steadfast. And now with the words that you just heard and the feelings you put behind them, take a brief moment to engage your heart with Spirit and use this moment to pray and receive answers to your prayers. Take another deep breath in and fully exhale. Feel the truth of your being seeping into your mind, body, and soul. Now, as you remain relaxed, I'm going to share with you a beautiful poem from this month's Daily Word. It's called Right Where You Are by Mary Berg. Be a wave in God's ocean. Be a fragment of a star. Be a lantern holding light. Be a beacon where you are. See the glory of a sunset. See the rising of the moon. See the glory and the wonder. See the beauty where you are. Hear the cry of newborn babies. Hear wind whisper in the grass. Hear thunder rumble in a rainstorm. Let your hearing hold you fast. Can you hear the glory calling? Can you see amazing grace? Can you access inner wisdom in your home, your life, your space? Prophets came to tell the story. Holy books have said it too. Life's a love-filled holy mystery. It's in me, the world, and you. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you have answered our prayers as you always do. And we are grateful in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen. And when you're ready, you may open your eyes and come back to your surroundings. And so it is. Amen.
That was a wonderful feeling. Thank you. So this is a time when we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. We will say the prosperity prayer together.
Offering blessing.
Offering blessing. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
And so it is.
Amen.
Amen. And you have light notes?
Light notes.
Okay.
Light notes for Sunday, March the 28th. Friday, April the 2nd at 7 p.m., Megan McDonough will be our special guest musician. Please join us for a music-filled Good Friday service focusing on the promise of Easter. Megan is sharing original music and music from other New Thought musicians. Now, this service is only being offered live, so there will be no recording of it. So please see updates for the link to that service. On Saturday, April the 3rd, there'll be an Easter egg hunt for the Unity Center of Light youth. The hunt will be at 11 a.m. or 3 p.m., depending on the response. All must wear masks, social distancing will be observed, and parents must stay with their child or their children during the hunt. Today is the last day to RSVP by 3 p.m. For more information or to RSVP, kindly email Patty. The Bowie Food Pantry continues to do its much-needed, awesome work. They have made it very easy for us to donate our non-perishable food items. Load your donations into the trunk of your car and put in a note that says the food is from Unity Center of Light. Check the donation days and times. Pull into their parking lot and pop your trunk. A volunteer will pick up your donations. Unity Center of Light continues its partnership with the Bowie Food Pantry with monthly donations. They are now serving more families than ever. They're also receiving monetary donations. Please check your updates for the link for what foods they need the most. Please help us to help them serve our area families and the homeless population. On Sunday, April the 11th, the Book Light Book Club will be discussing the book of Monkeys and Dragons, Freedom from the Tyranny of Disease. This book is an inspirational tale of hope. The author, Michelle Longo O'Donnell, opened up the first holistic health clinic in the United States. O'Donnell hopes that readers will find the ability to unlock their spirit to a healthier, happier, and more fulfilled life. The group will meet from 1 to 3 p.m. And the last announcement is about our annual membership meeting, which is on Sunday, April the 25th at 1 p.m. Join us as we look to revising our bylaws, elect new board members, review the happenings of 2020, and learn about the plans for the upcoming year. All are encouraged to attend. Only members may vote.
It's a Zoom. It's a Zoom meeting.
Yeah, it'll be a Zoom meeting. That's what I said. Annual. It's a virtual annual membership meeting. It is on. It's on Zoom.
Okay. All right.
So now we will bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
All right.
Together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right. And now we're going to see our prayer for protection. And if you haven't seen this in a while, these are some new lines that have been added to it. So let's say that together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Okay. Well, we are very thankful for you being in our service today with us. It's been wonderful. We look forward to seeing you in Zoom.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
We've got Safi coming today and some other great music and great discussions, so please join us in that. And Other than have a wonderful week.
All right. We'll see you later.
Okay, bye-bye.